This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 11th, episode 1469, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
It is 6 o'clock a.m. here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I am IV lining coffee because I have a horse show hangover officially, Glenn. Holy smokes.
Did you just get home yesterday?
Last night, but I didn't ride cross country until 3:30. This horse trial was huge, and so I rode show jumping Sunday morning and then cross country Sunday afternoon.
Well, the way they do it is they look at who's the furthest away and they give them the latest times.
I know. I was one of the close ones. My God, this horse trial, Coconino horse trials, they do 2 weeks back to back. So a lot of people will come from, like, Holly Bennett was there and all, like, tons of people from California and from Texas because they can stay the whole time and get back-to-back horse trials. So it was huge.
Coconino, for those that don't know, is northern Arizona, below the Grand Canyon, right?
Below the Grand Canyon.
Near one of the coolest towns ever. Yes,
Sedona. North of Sedona in Flagstaff, where it's like 75, it's higher than Denver, the elevation. So it's nice and cool. And most people in Phoenix go there on the weekends.
Sedona must be packed. Just that whole area.
That's not as cool, though, as Flagstaff.
No. Yeah, it's a little higher. No.
Like it was when I was driving, basically, you're going down the mountain last night. When we left Flagstaff at 4:30, it was 80 degrees. And at 7 p.m., when I got down into the valley and we started getting close to my house, at 7 p.m., it was 108.
Whoa.
What? That sucks. Who lives in a place like that? Why on earth would you live in a oven like that? Well,
we had a little appreciation for you over the weekend when we came out of the movies. We'll talk about that a little later. But when we came out of the movies, it was 102, which we don't, you know, we live in Florida where everybody thinks it's, you know, amazingly hot, and it is, but we don't ever, hardly ever get over 100 degrees. So for us,
and
that
humidity.
Was really hot. And humidity.
Oh,
yeah. It was a real feel. It was like 115 because it was just hot, you know?
Yeah. We didn't horse.
No, we didn't do much riding this weekend.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we will definitely talk about all these things because I can't wait to hear about your review of Secret Lives of Pets. And that's coming up. And I'm seeing that today with Grandpa and Lucas. So you better not give me any spoilers.
No spoilers today.
Should I leave?
No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Okay. Because Grandpa and I are taking the kid. Oh, I don't want anything ruined. So Jennifer,
well, the one nice thing about theaters is it's always very cold. The air conditioning works very well in theaters. So
you wear flip flops here all the time because it's too hot to wear shoes, and then you get into theater and you have to sit on your feet because your feet are freezing because you don't have any socks on. So I now bring socks into theaters.
In Florida here, all the old people, and we're one of those now, all the old people, you learn this when you first get to Florida, they crank the air conditioning so much in restaurants and stuff that we all carry jackets in the car. So it's 102 out, and you'll see everybody going to the restaurant with a jacket.
Yeah.
It's the most bizarre thing.
Well, you old people do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, that's right.
I love you. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, following the dramatic conclusion of Mustang Zeus's eventing adventure, rated G, We're joined by Dr. Gordon Chang, the mad genius behind Omega Alpha Equine and others. And at the finish, the wacky world of Horse Nation takes Monday by the horns. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer, very much. Appreciate it. Now we're going to do our daily whinnies. Well, I have a two-part daily whinny. One is the birthdays. We had a couple of them yesterday from listeners and auditors and things. We had Abby Good and Brianna Mack from Australia, who we've talked to before here on the show. And tomorrow, because we have our endurance episode, so we don't do daily whinnies, we have auditor and newlywed Danielle Bacher, who is from Pennsylvania. So happy birthday to all of them. Also, this was so cool. I don't know if you saw this post on the auditor page, but is it Lila Hewitt posted this, and she said, a few months ago, there was a show from Ben Franklin's world, our friend Liz over there, about modern-day Oregon Trail adventure. I decided to bring the book along for my adventure of backpacking 210 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail. It's a good book to read at our lunch breaks and in the evening after our day of hiking. Well, thank you for supporting fellow podcasters, and it was a good book. I downloaded it for Audible, but 210 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail. Okay, she's in better shape than any
the
of
story
us.
Here is not the book.
No, it's
Glenn.
210 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail. And we have really cool listeners who are apparently in much better shape than we are. So
we need to talk to that girl.
Yeah. I said, why haven't you called in from the trail yet? So if you're listening, give us a call. Oh, my Skype is doing weird things. If you're listening, give us a call. We want to hear from you.
Oh my gosh. The book is not the story here.
No.
The story is that she's hiking 210 miles.
The Pacific Crest Trail, which is the one in the movie, I think. That we saw. What was that movie called with? Forget, Jennifer, do you remember the name of the movie?
Pacific Crest, is that
which
the
movie?
The movie we saw, the girl hiker on the Pacific Trail.
Oh, you saw that one. I didn't.
Right. Oh, is that the one with Reese Witherspoon?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's just crazy. So
I thought she hiked the Appalachian Trail.
No, it was Pacific.
No,
it was the Pacific Trail.
Walk in the Woods was the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah. Walk in the Woods was the Appalachian Trail. And
Got it.
Yeah. You know, they're all just crazy. I'm just saying.
You're just crazy. Why on earth? My daily whinny goes out. It just has to. If you guys haven't seen this yet, you just must. And you're going to see it in various locations, probably coming up, because Charlotte, DeJordan, and Fallegro have a new musical freestyle. And, you know, I mean, musical freestyles are like, they're really, really cool. But nobody brings it like Fallegro and Charlotte, okay? Seriously, I was moved to tears. I'm not kidding you. The horse is listening to the music. He's like, oh, I got to get on beat. Boom, 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 boom. And he's doing passage. Boom, 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 boom. And it's like, oh, the music gets big. And he's like, boom, extended trot. It was unreal. So I would like to, it's on eventingnation.com. So I'll post a link to that on our horses.
Is this a new test? Is this the one she's going to do at the Olympics?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, the story is Charlotte and Fallegro debuted their Grand Prix musical freestyle at the Hartbury Festival of Dressage, which earned them a score of 90.63.
Whoa!
And a landslide victory. The music was
90?
Yeah, 90 point. That's like, if you get a 90.63, that means you had tens. Then they're like,
and a lot of tens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you had an eight, you had two tens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so 90.63. You know, you sign up for a dressage show and you're in a class with Charlotte and Fallegro. While you're awesome for being that high of a level, you're going to lose.
Yeah, you're like, shooting for number two.
You're like duking it out for second place. Like, please let me get an 80 and get second place so I can, or a 60.
I mean, still think we should just send her the gold medal from the Olympics and save her the trip.
Well, I don't know why we wouldn't. Although, just to put in perspective, she is doing a Grand Prix freestyle. Grand Prix. And she gets a 90. I did beginner novice B and the equivalent of a 60. And I trotted and cantered circles. Like, let's put this in perspective, please.
Were just there doing any payoffs or passages?
Apparently, I did a really fantastic tempi change in show jumping warm up, unintentional, and the warm ups were the most exciting places for me this weekend, Glenn. But just to put in perspective, I did have one little airs above the ground in my dressage, which you probably saw if you watched the video.
Yeah, I did see that.
One little airs above the ground, but she got a 90.63, so that's tens. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to I'm looking forward to watching the dressage at the Olympics.
You have
this
to hear
year.
It. You can't. But her test, by the way, you can't just watch it. You have to hear the music that goes along with it.
See how much her horse is in tune.
He is listening. He's like, "Oh, this is my jam." I mean, it was unreal.
He likes music. Hey, before we go, I want to hear all about your weekend because I did watch the videos and I do have some comments and I want to hear how you did. But before we do that, tomorrow is Amazon Prime Day. That's kind of their Christmas in July thing where they have tons of sales. And if you're a Prime member of Amazon, which we are you Prime?
I am not a Prime.
Okay, so if you're a Prime member of Amazon, it's
but
a big
I would
day.
Like your password so it's, I can.
It's a big day. It was everything you buy will be shipped to me. you can sign up for a 30-day free trial too to take advantage of the sale. Apparently, but if you're going to be buying things at Amazon tomorrow, don't forget to go to horseradionetwork.com and in the right-hand border, there's an Amazon link. Use the link and we get a little bit of credit for everything you buy. It doesn't cost you any more. But I wanted to remind you, it is still there on the Horse Radio Network website, the new website, and feel free to use it tomorrow for anybody that's going to be shopping at the super sales on Amazon Prime. All right.
My husband won't let me join Prime because he's like, that's going to encourage me to shop more.
Oh, we save so much money. I can't tell you how nice Prime is.
Okay.
We save so much money. I mean, I'm telling you, we order things that we wouldn't normally order, that we'd order from somebody, but we order from Amazon because we get it in 2 days and it's free shipping. It's always there the next day or in 2 days. It's just, and you don't even think about it anymore. You just order it. And, it, you know, I don't think we're buying much extra stuff, but, you know, everything we do want, we just buy from there.
Amazon's taking over the world.
Yes, it is. But let's hear about your weekend. So you took, to refresh for new people, you took your newest Mustang, who you've not shown in this in an event before, up to an event. And so let's start with dressage.
Oh, my gosh. So just to put in perspective, I took this course cross-country schooling a couple weeks ago at Coconino simply because I was going to take Thor. And I thought, oh, this will be fun for Zeus to get out and see some stuff. Well, Thor kind of really didn't love it very much. And Zeus was like the most fun I've had in a long time. So about 2 weeks ago, I go, I'm going to enter Zeus. I better teach him how to do stuff. Like, we have 2 weeks to prepare for a horse show. So we get up there for dressage. And mind you, we've been practicing dressage for about 2 weeks, you know, every other day. So he doesn't have a ton of knowledge as to what's going on. But a lot of the whole challenge in my world has always been the behavior leading up to said event, whatever event you're going to go in, where Jet would buck me off and Edward would run sideways, spooking and galloping. Like, I've never just had a horse that went down and looked around and was like, okay, even these seasoned competition horses, it took Jet 5 years to walk down to a warm-up arena and be like, okay, I'm cool.
Yeah, it was always pre-warm-up that was your problem.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I could ride him through stuff in the test, but it was the warm-up that always scared me. And this little Mustang, 15-1, he was born in a facility. He's never seen anything. He's never been anywhere. He's been to one horse show with me where I took him over the crossrails. That's it. Okay, like, we're like cramming here. Take him into the dressage test. And, you know, he doesn't understand what connection, like through connection is. So he was head bobbing in my dressage test, said he was head bobbing, but he was obedient. And in the warm up, he was perfect. You know, we worked on, we actually got to focus on like working on things that we were going to need in our test as opposed to galloping circles. I was able to like, okay, let's do some leg yields. Let's move off the inside, you know, leg to the outside rein. We actually got to accomplish some of those things. Granted, he doesn't really understand what he's doing. So he did a good job, and he finished with a 40, which is a 60 in the real world, but they reverse scores. So the lower the score in eventing, the better.
And actually 40 is not too bad.
I was really surprised.
Really
actually,
pretty good.
That's... Because again, he was accurate. He wasn't super, but he was accurate enough. He just had one little explosive, because he has a hard time picking up the left lead. So we've really been working on the left lead, and the left lead, he did perfect. The right lead, he screws up. I was like, but this is a good one. So anyway, he had trouble with the right lead, blew up a little bit. So anyway, he was really, really, he tried really hard. And then we went for show jumping yesterday morning. And again, this horse has zero clue of what he's doing. Bless his heart. He just tries so hard. He just throws his heart out there and goes, okay, whatever you say, I'll do it.
And that was my comment watching the show jumping video. And I think Jennifer can
repost really?
I didn't that.
See
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, I didn't make a comment. I waited till this morning. But my thought about watching that show jumping video was, yes, he took a very indirect route to a lot of the jumps. but this horse was going to do anything you said. If you said, pointed him, he was going to jump it. He was so obedient and so wanting to please you. And that's what makes him completely different than any other horse I've ever seen you show. Who were really not wanting to do anything you said.
But no.
That, you know, he didn't get there in the most direct manner, but I'll tell you what, you pointed him at it, and he eventually, when he got there, he would jump it. And he would say, you could see in his face, he was going, okay, I'm doing this. I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm doing it for you because you're telling me to. And
you've never
had that in any of the horses I've watched.
No.
Not to the point where he is.
Not since I had the warm blood 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah,
have I had
before
this
I even
fun.
Knew you, probably.
But you would. We had just started the show, so yeah, he in show jumping, you come to you go to your first fence, and he really enjoys jumping, so he wants to go really fast at it, and you're like, you know, keep a rhythm, keep a rhythm, keep a rhythm. If you bolt to it, you're gonna eat it, you know. So you have to like remind him, like, stay steady. And the first couple jumps were good, and then we had a hard left turn. And if you listen to the audio on the video, you can hear me going, turn, 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 turn. And it's very faint from where Chad recorded it, but he had a hard time turning. He just didn't know he had no idea what he was doing. And he just tried so hard. I just couldn't love him anymore. He just went out there.
But he didn't take any. I mean, left them all up.
Yeah, he didn't knock
one thing.
And
you know, when you watch that, you would not think that would have been the case. Because
there's a two stride, and he put three strides in it and went from far right to far left back to the far right. I mean, it's crazy.
But he hit them all, which I walked away from that, watching that, going, wow, this horse actually has a pretty good future, I think.
He's going to be really, really good. When I came out of the arena, the organizer of the event, she's, you know, everybody kind of knows through his Facebook page and what's going on. And everybody said, the organizer goes, well, there were moments of brilliance there. Moments. But there were moments of brilliance. I'm like, he's going to be good, right? So, and everybody just loved him. Apparently, when I was riding, my student was sitting down watching, and this lady goes, hey, did you know that's a Mustang? And my student's like, yeah, that's my coach. And it was just, people were talking about the fact that he was a Mustang. The vet on the thing said, he is the best, the best looking Mustang I've ever seen. He goes, his confirmation is great. Of course, what I'm trained to say is, of course, I love him and I think you're absolutely right, but he's a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. Please go get one. They're everywhere.
Did you have a billboard?
Go get one, please. You know, yeah.
Do we need to make you a big banner?
Well, that his freeze brand is so bright.
Yeah.
And he's just so flashy that everybody looks at him. And
they're
now that
on
they're
the
like
neck too. They're not on the butt. So
yeah. And now it's like, you know, and now entering the arena, Jamie Jennings on Zeus The Mustang.
So that's, were you glad you can, you've named him that now?
Well, I kind of at first was like, okay, that's, I wondered if it was a little cheesy, like, but then once people were talking about it, I thought purpose is served. You know, these people are out there realizing that a Mustang can get out here and event. It was really, really cool. And then I did have, while I was waiting in dressage, this, I was kind of standing there talking to some people, and this lady, bless her heart, really nice, but is like 3 feet away from me taking pictures of me. And I'm like, is she? And I look behind me, I'm like, is she taking pictures of somebody behind me? What's going on? No, she's taking pictures of me like 3 feet from me. She's on the other side of the rail. And I just turned around. I was like, hello, how's it going? And she's like, oh, don't worry about me. I am a friend of one of your listeners, and she lives in Colorado, and she's really far away, but I live here, and she told me I had to come and find you and watch you and take pictures of you.
Oh, Betty Faye?
No, Linda. Linda Getting, our listener, had a friend in Flagstaff, sent the friend there, so I got to meet her friend, and the name escapes me because I was warming up for dressage. It was hilarious. And then another person came up, and they're a listener as well, and introduced themselves, and they just saw me while I was walking cross country, and you know, it was really kind of neat. I felt kind of good.
Well, speaking of which, I saw videos of dressage and videos of stadium in which you didn't take anything down, had a couple time penalties, which considering is just a miracle. So
3 seconds. Like, I wasn't going fast.
We didn't see any of cross country. So what does that mean?
Okay. I did something for you, Glenn.
You did?
I did. Because I know that I'm going to have to talk about all these things and see all these things. On cross country, I just emailed Jennifer some pictures so she can post the pictures. Mm-hmm. But you're in the woods, so it's impossible to get video aside from somebody galloping by. Yeah. Like, the spectators can see maybe
you
one.
You have your GoPro on?
I wore a GoPro.
You did?
I did.
I didn't know you owned one.
I don't own one. I borrowed one.
So we have a GoPro video of you and Zeus?
We will potentially have a GoPro video. My student, it's her camera, and she's editing it because she had to turn it on for me. So it's like 30 seconds of me walking around in cross country. So we will put it up, hopefully today. Okay, I have good, to cool. make sure that I didn't cuss in it because it was, okay. So go ahead and get it ready.
Oh yeah. I have it ready. I always have it ready.
I'm standing, you know, you're circling the warm-up or the start box for cross country. You're walking circles and they're going, okay, minute and a half. No, turn the camera on. 30 seconds. 10 seconds. 9, 8, blah, blah, blah. 3, 2, 1, have a good ride. And I'm like, okay, let's go. And I squeeze my horse and he won't move.
He won't leave the box. Normally, they don't go in the box.
I kick my horse. I'm like, what are you doing? He's taken that moment to poop in the start box in front of, like, I don't know, 50 people that all start laughing. And he's a horse that poops and stops and poops. And then the clock is ticking, Glenn. And they're like, have a good ride. I'm like, oh, thank you. Nothing. My horse is taking a crap in the start box and won't go. I was like, sorry. I'm finally like, I'm like Pony Club kicking my Mustang. Go, 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 go. Clock ticking, go. And then my other that girl moment I thought you would appreciate, by the way, is we're down for stadium warm up on Friday. We're just hanging out. Somebody is like, hey. There's a dog in the arena. And I was like, who the hell lost her? Oh, my God, that's mine.
Was he in the arena during a test?
Yeah, during somebody's show jumping round.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's never good. No, you deserve that for this one, too, because I don't wanna you be had that dog.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I had, I was that girl.
You did not have any Horse Radio Network banners hanging anywhere, do you? Did you?
No, don't worry.
Jamie always wonders why I don't send her banners or things to put on her truck or a trailer. Now she's kind of getting the idea why.
It's fine. Yeah. I understand. Hey, so anyway, so we went out on cross country and he ate it up. First jump, you know, once I got him the pooper to start moving, cantered out and did the first jump, second jump. And then the third jump is James Atkinson was the course designer, and he notoriously designs things that are incredibly hard. And he likes the carnage. He likes people to not finish or have refusals. So the third jump is all the way up a hill. So you gallop your little green bean up a hill. They fly. And of course, Zeus is like, yeehaw, and he takes off. And then you jump number three, and then fence number four is four strides away on a right turn, like total right angle.
Oh, and we all know how well he turns after watching show jump.
Exactly. So we had a little bit of a green bean run out. Like, he just didn't see it. He just had no idea it was there. I turned him back around, and he went right over it, no problem. So, and then he actually, after that, he started paying attention. Because he was just like galloping blindly, like, yeah, just partying. And his ears were up the whole time. And so I'm excited to see the GoPro video. I just got to make sure I didn't swear.
So you only had that one duck out and that was it?
One duck out and the whole entire thing.
Wow,
and
that's great.
You'll see in the video, I did bring him down to a trot a couple times because I was like, you need to have a little more self-control. But there's one where it's I trot in. And it's a table, and then four strides later is a corner. Yeah, they had a corner in beginner novice. So then he just flies over the corner, and then we're galloping through the woods, and I kind of got lost because I walked my course four times, but it just looks different when you're on a horse galloping. And this was a brand new course that they had built, so nobody knew where they were going. People got lost. One woman in my division got 96 time penalties.
Whoa. Where she was in the next county.
You get one
she was
penalty.
At the Grand Canyon, stopped for a tour.
Every second is 1/4 of a penalty.
Oh,
so
wow.
At 90th, I wonder, I'm like, did she make it all the way to the freeway and go, oh, crap, I got to turn back around. That's a long time. I can't wait to find her next time. Be like, hey, dude, what happened? I just need to know. How'd you get 96 time penalties? That's like a lot. That's like 400 seconds you were like behind. All right. So anyway, so he goes around and he jumps everything in the water great. And it was super fun. And I crossed the finish line and I did a fist pump because I've just always wanted to compete a Mustang and finish a horse trial. And I did it. And it was really, really fun. And I can't wait to do more with him. He is a star in the making. And I, more than anything, I had so much fun.
Yay!
So much.
And you weren't all stressed out when you went into dressage. You weren't all stressed out when you went into jumping.
The difference is, like, I was walking around the start box before, you know, the poop incident. I'm walking around the start box and I had butterflies in my tummy. And it was like the fun butterflies as opposed to the I could be going out to die. That's how I always felt on Jet.
Yeah, like, I mean, you always
I might die.
Yeah, the thing is, you never could go in relaxed, which doesn't help your test in any way, shape, or form, especially dressage.
No, when you're fighting for your life, you know, and you're that girl, like galloping sideways in the warm-up, and this time I was just that girl, and this horse has no idea what he's doing and no idea what's going on around him, and he was just like, okay, I'll try. He's so plucky and, like, fun. He did three times I had to buy more shavings because he flooded his stall by turning over the water trough and pawing inside. He's still a pill.
But that kind of stuff is like, you can handle that kind of stuff. It's when you're on your back, you don't want him being a pill.
Yeah. It's, he's a pill that's now worth it.
Well, very good. Very cool. Well, that wasn't even so much of that girl's stories.
No, just, I mean, I didn't fall off or anything, but I was that girl pooping and.
Well, I'm glad that's much safer this way.
Yeah.
I thought bones.
I was going to love that.
Yay. Good job.
and
Scooter
way,
does that too. Is the stop pooper? Yeah, he just. I cannot get him to walk and poop.
Gosh, you're like, you're a wild horse. You're supposed to be able to poop and run.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting chased by lions. Like, come on. Just so you do know that I finished up with a ribbon.
Did you?
What? I got eighth place. They give ribbons to eight.
What color
and
is that
we
one,
ended
by the
up
way?
Eighth. It's brown.
Oh, okay.
It's a beautiful shade of brown.
That's appropriate considering the story you just told.
My whole goal for this horse trial was to give him three good rides and make everything positive for him. And I feel like I gave him three good rides and the ribbon was just a super bonus. And I just want to go squeeze him right now.
Well, congratulations. I'm very excited for you. I'm very excited that you have a horse that you can look forward to competing.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited too.
Because that's a big deal. I mean,
California, after, here we come.
After
baby.
The last 6 years, we're all excited, to be honest.
I had a fun one. Yay.
Yeah, we're all excited for you. After there's Thank tens you. Of thousands of people now happy that you have. Of course, we can hear positive stories from
Chad, but nobody's happier than my husband.
I bet.
Like, I've never seen you smile like this or fist pump after you finished the. When you know, past the finish flags, and he's like, "You've never had this much fun before and been so relaxed and enjoyed." I'm like, "Yeah, I know, it's fun. Like, I can even take the horse out of the stall for a walk without either having a dually halter, a chain around his nose, or something." Like, he actually just wants to walk with me. Like, that's just that part's weird.
Well, congratulations, good job.
Thank you very much. It was super fun.
Well, Dr. Chang will be happy that you're having better horse experiences, too.
Well, Dr. Chang should, because I posted a picture on the Omega Alpha Equines Facebook page. And before dressage and before show jumping, I didn't do it before cross country because I wanted him to be a perky. I did give my horse some equine chill. And I took a picture of the equine chill, which he ate in the grain, no problem. And I said, chill. Don't leave home without it.
Well, there you go, Dr. Chang.
I'm glad she's having success. I caught the last. Now, I hate to say this, but I don't do Facebook. I know we have a Facebook site, but I can't remember the last time I logged on to Facebook.
Well, now you have to look for the picture.
I definitely do.
Yes, you do.
I need an excuse now to go to it. And that was it. The final thing prodded me along the way.
Let me tell you something. Somebody replied from Omega Alpha to my picture, and I guarantee you I knew it was not you. I promise. And Mike, that's definitely not Dr. Chang. He has no idea this is going on right now. But it did get a lot of likes, and I appreciate your people being very responsive.
Hey, Dr. Chang, before we go on, Dr. Chang is here. He is the owner and chief guru over at Omega Alpha Equine and stops by once a month. And last month, Dr. Chang, you gave away a whole bunch of Herbicote. And you were so kind to do that. I think it was, 50 people, but I think you got a lot more emails than that and might have ended up sending more out than that. But I had actually some voicemails from some of the listeners who asked if I would share them with you. So if you don't mind, I'd like to play them for you.
Definitely.
All right,
that'd be great.
Yeah, so here we go. Let me see. Here we go.
Hi, Dr. Chang. My name is Dawn, and I live in Ohio. And I wanted to say a quick thank you to you and your staff for sending the bottles of Herbicote out. Really happy with the product. Love that it's all natural, of course. And I'm really happy with how my horse's coat looks after using it for a couple of weeks. Her coat tends to get a little bit dry in the summer, but now her coat is looking healthy and very shiny. Her coat looks great, and I wanted to thank you.
Hi, Dr. Chang. This is Auditor Misty West calling from Western Pennsylvania. I just wanted to thank you so much for the full-sized, wonderful sample of Herbicote that you sent. I want to say I really love the product. I love the smell. It is a fantastic smelling product, and most importantly, it works amazingly well. At first, when I put it on the first horse that I tried, I thought the product was a little sticky. However, I was very delighted to find that the stickiness not only went away, but also by the next day improved the condition and feel and just the overall look of the hair coat, especially the mane and tail of the first horse that I tried it in. So thank you so much. I really appreciate your support of Horse Radio Network and for sending us this wonderful product, and you've got a new customer. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Dr. Chang. This is Nikki Lambert from New Jersey. I just want to say thank you so much for the Omega Alpha Herbicote sample. I hate to even call it a sample because it's a huge bottle that you sent to me and to other lucky listeners, auditors. I'm in love with this product. My horse's coats look phenomenal and they smell so good. And I want to thank you so much again for offering this to all of us. Thanks.
Nikki did not take chill, apparently.
Well, I do know there are people who actually take Chill, even though it's meant for the horse. They do take it pre-competition to quiet down the butterflies in their stomach. And it works remarkably well for them, too.
Well, I got to tell you, the Herbicoat, you're going to be selling more Herbicoat. Apparently, that was a big hit.
Dr. Chang, the Herbicoat, just to let you know, I have using products is not for my horses is one of the things I do. So my Basset Hound Lucky, he has kind of like just dry, itchy skin. So I gave him a bath and I sprayed it on him, and then I sprayed it on him again a couple of days later, and he's totally not itchy anymore. So his just kind of just dry, itchy coat really improved. And then my little dog Danny got a little bit of a hot spot, and I've been spraying that on the hot spot, and it's healed. So I don't know what kind of voodoo magic weirdness you're working on, but it is amazing.
No, some of the ingredients that we use, and they have multiple uses, right? It depends on how we combine it. But one of the reasons we put it together is to help soothe the skin and help the coat look better and shinier. That's a major reason we put it together. But as you know, these ingredients have multiple uses. And I know people use them for other things, but, you know, it definitely works very well on the skin, on things like hot spots and so on, too.
It does. I can attest to that. So we're going to talk a little bit today. By the way, thank you for sending all those out. That was amazing. We are going to talk a little bit today about something important for this time of year, especially, which is dehydration.
Yes, especially now because, you know, the hot, muggy weather. One of the biggest problems, you know, with exercise, competition, especially when it's hot and muggy like this, is that the horses sweat a lot. And anytime they sweat, they lose a lot of electrolytes, primarily sodium, potassium, some chloride, and there's a bit of magnesium and calcium that's also in the sweat. And, you know, drips and drops of everything else. But these are the four primary things that are lost in the sweat. So one of the things is that in order on a hot day, you have to rehydrate your horse to maintain that balance of fluid balance, because the salt and so on play a very important role in how the muscles contract and keeping the cells alive, you know, and all those type of things. So it's a good thing to put in. But one of the things too, that when we were formulating this product, it was not only an electrolyte. We also added things to it like branched chain amino acids and things like L-glutamine. The reason we did those things is because most people drench their horse or replace the electrolytes and so on after exercise. And that's also the best time to use things like branched chain amino acids and L-glutamine. Because after exercise, there's a 1 hour window, 1 to 2 hour windows, which research has shown that you get optimal effect of things like branched chain aminos and L-glutamine. And what branched chain aminos do, they help rebuild that muscle. L-glutamine helps prevent the breakdown of muscle tissue. So all those things add extra muscle to the horse. Now, I'd love to say that's the only thing that you need to do. But, you know, of course, you have to have a good feeding program, because all the branched chain amino acids in the world is not going to help put on muscle mass if you're not feeding your horse. All right? So
of course.
Sorry?
I said, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a combination effect, but it's a key chunk in your plan of how to keep your horse hydrated, how to keep them in tip top shape, and so on. And so that makes our Equistellite vastly different from whatever else electrolyte type products out there. In addition, one of the things that we didn't do, we didn't add sugar to the Equistellite, so it's no sugar added product. Right. So, you know, a lot of times people add sugar, tons of sugar to it. Right. That has its place, but to be fair, the sugar. But we felt you didn't need to add extra sugar because the horse is already getting lots of sugar and carbohydrates in their diet that they don't need. It's really to replace that salt and to inhibit the damage of the breakdown of muscle tissue. That's what we wanted to do with this product.
Well, it definitely were. I mean, I had that on board. I'm at competitions, Dr. Chang, I'm a walking advertisement for you. Between the Minarec, the Chill, the Herbicoat, the Biotic 8, I wear the hat. You know, I mean, it's a definite Omega Alpha section over where I am for sure. But the Equicel and the rehydration, are you saying that it kind of like rehydrates a horse? What are the branched chain amino acids? Why are they important?
Branch chain amino acids are things like, there's three of them. There's valine, leucine, and isoleucine, right? Those are the three major branch chain amino acids that you commonly use. And what research has shown is that these three branch chain amino acids actually encourage the buildup of a brand new muscle. But what the research has basically shown with these three amino acids is that for it to work optimally, and I use the word optimally, it has to be taken within 1 to 2 hours post-exercise. So you can give it to him at the beginning of the day. It'll be used, but it's not optimized the muscle building of new muscle, right? So that is, for whatever reason, that magic window is 1 to 2 hours post-exercise, right? And if you combine that with the L-glutamine that we also have, right, that L-glutamine also helps inhibit a lot of muscle breakdown. That's one of the things that it does. It does a whole bunch of other things, but for the sake of this conversation, that's one of its major effects. Now, the Equicelite we have comes also in a tube, in a paste, and that's a convenience product for the horses in the rings. You know, like if you're on the go and you need to give them some more electrolyte, that's what you can use the paste at that point. Okay. So sometimes, you know, when a horse is post-exercise sometimes, or if he's doing an endurance run, you really can't pour that much water into them, right? Mm-hmm. These things also help them encourage them to drink water. Mm-hmm. That's another reason you want to give them electrolytes.
And that's because the salt just makes them thirsty and encourages them to drink.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, with horses and even with people, if you get overheated, you don't drink, right? And so on, for whatever reason, the thirst mechanism just stops working properly. Mm-hmm. And when you give them the salt, right, that is one way of tweaking that thirst mechanism to encourage them to drink. With people, you could say to them, hey, it's good for you, drink some water. And people, even if the thirst mechanism isn't working, they'll drink. But with horses, you know, it's kind of difficult to force water into them. It's like, you know, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
That's so true. Very true. So this will encourage them a little bit more, kickstart that thirst mechanism. Dr. Chang, you guys are having another webinar. It's in September, which... While you can watch recorded webinars, you can go to the education tab at the top of the page of Omega Alpha Equine, and you can rewatch other topics like hormone health for horses, performance and recovery, bone, joint, ligament health, plus plenty, plenty more on the education tabs. And we will definitely keep you up to date when the next webinar is going to be. But we, all of us here at Horse Radio Network and all the listeners that got the Herbicode, everybody is just such a fan of your company and your product. And we just can't thank you enough for being such an awesome sponsor and coming on here just to continue to educate us.
Well, thank you for that. But there's one other thing I forgot to mention, and Claire's going to kill me if I forgot to mention it.
Okay.
It's there's a free sample offer on the Equicelite. We're giving away 150-gram samples to our U.S. listeners only, unfortunately. You know what?
The Canadians are getting pissed, by the way. Just wanted to tell you. They've been writing to us. And actually, that did happen. We had several of our Canadians go, when is he going to have... It's a Canadian company. Why can't we get something? So it's like...
That's probably something I should talk to the staff over here about. Maybe we'll do something like that.
Yeah, they would appreciate a little love in Canada.
All right, so Continuing on, what do we need to do to get a sample of Equicelite? I've got my pen ready.
All we need is your full subject line. Send an email to Claire Smith at csmith@omegaalpha.ca. In your subject line, you write Horse Radio Network, HRN, Equicell Light, and give us your full name, mailing address, and a phone number. And that's all we need. And then we'll send it out to, the, I believe it is to the first 50, first 50 people that send us a request.
And if you didn't get all of that because you're driving your car or cleaning your stalls, we will post that on Facebook or in our show notes, too, so you can find it. I thought Claire would have quit after the last one. It's like Claire would have been out of there. It's like there's a lot of emails and stuff.
Okay, so csmith@omegaalpha.ca, and the subject line is Horse Radio Network, and then inside just write Equicell Light. We want your awesome products. Send us a Equicell Light and put your address, name, address, and phone number.
Beautiful.
All right, Dr. Chang, you're amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on today.
OmegaAlphaEquine.com is where you'll find the website. And as always, we appreciate him stopping by. And look, he's giving out more free stuff. I didn't know about the free stuff. That wasn't in our notes today. So yeah, he surprised us with that.
All right. Jennifer already posted on Facebook. Darn it. I got to get in there. I think so.
You better send it out right away.
I know. I got to send out my email. Well,
we heard the last time, that, like before the show was over, they were over 50 or something. So,
yeah.
So
exactly.
Get your emails in right now. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not listening live and you're listening in like 2 weeks from now, you're probably a little late.
Yeah.
But if you're listening within the first half of the day,
Or even into tomorrow, you might be good. Hey, send it anyway. You never know. They're softies over there at Omega Alpha, though, probably.
I know. They gave out way more than 50 bottles of the...
Yeah. I got to send some. Scooter can get overheated occasionally when I actually do something with him.
Oh, I don't think Jennifer posted it yet. Didn't go through, so you guys still have hope.
That's right. So send it out. Jennifer's going to post it. All right, we're going to take a break here for a song. Oh, I don't have a song ready yet. I got to get a song ready. We had a great time, Jamie and I, last week. We had an opportunity to spend an hour, and we're going to play that later in the month. So, Jamie, you're going away, right?
So I'm going on vacation, yeah, so you guys get to hear.
We'll play that special musical episode. We need to do more of those. God, I love doing those, and we don't do enough of them.
Well,
probably because there's not a whole lot of...
independent horsey artists.
Yeah, exactly.
So check this out. What Glenn is talking about is that we got to sit down with Jared Rogerson. He has a new album. So we kind of did like a little album release party with him. And he lives in Wyoming. And he's this like Wyoming super master degree educated actual like rodeo cowboy.
Smart cowboy. Yeah.
He's a very smart cowboy who works for the Game and Fish Service in Wyoming. And Glenn, we are going to try, my husband and I are going to try to go up to Jackson Hole on the 19th of, like, next week, just for a couple.
Will you get to see him?
So I messaged him, and I'm like, hey, because I gave him a hard time on the show about him only touring in Wyoming, and he's like, oh, I'll be in Colorado, like, but that doesn't help me. It's still, like, 25 hours away. So I told him, I said, well, my husband and I are going to be in Jackson Hole on the 19th. He's like, oh, I actually might be doing a show there on the 20th.
Oh, wow. You'll get to see him sing?
Oh, my God. Could you die? I can't stand it. I don't even want to think about it. He said maybe he's trying to work out with the person. It's like he'd be hosting an open mic night. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know, but I might get to see him and get him to play Peace, Love, and Horses, which I hope you're about to play.
I didn't have that queued up. I was going to play something that we didn't play in the special from his
new album. Good. I'll hear
something. How about Between Hell and Texas?
Between Hell and Texas is Texas.
I have no idea what this song is about. I have not heard it before. So here we go.
Left the pieces of my heart 1,000 miles down the road. Now I'm driving and counting the million miles left to go. To lose your memory and to find myself, to see where I went wrong, to bottle all that pain into sad cowboy songs. Somewhere between hell and Texas, there's a highway. highway calling my name. And a smoky old bar where I can strum my guitar for tips and a little local fame. And there's hot black coffee and cold hotel breakfasts somewhere between hell and Texas. So I'm driving like hell, just running from my past. Guess I'm looking for anything that can be built to last. Well, maybe I'll find it between Waco and Amarillo. There's only one of two places that I can go. Somewhere between hell and Texas, there's a highway calling my name. And a smoky old bar where I can strum my guitar for tips and a little local fame. There's hot black coffee and cold hotel breakfasts somewhere between hell and Texas. I gave you my love, then you gave love away. Just a couple regrets that I won't take to my grave. But I'm still alive, got this old truck in drive. There's nothing to go back and save. But somewhere between hell and Texas, there's a highway calling my name. And a smoky old bar where I can strum my guitar for tips and a little local fame. And there's hot black coffee and cold hotel breakfasts somewhere between hell and Texas. Between hell and Texas.
Oh my God, I love that one. I haven't heard that. I was singing along.
That's his new CD, Heaven, and next week we'll play for you our special episode. What do you call it? A CD release party.
CD release party, and I'd like to tell you at this point in my life that somewhere between hell and Texas is Arizona.
Just so I was thinking that, actually.
He was actually in Arizona when he wrote that in the summer.
I was thinking of that. Well, I have a question of the
day. That song should be called Arizona.
I have a question of the day for the listeners, and I'm just putting it out now. Okay, so this is the question of the day. This post was on LonelyPlanet.com. And as best I could tell, LonelyPlanet.com is a forum for adventure travelers.
It's travelers, yeah. It's kind of like if you want to get a review of a place from people that have actually been there, and kind of, it's not quite as bitchy as the other website is, you know. It just like kind of seems like more kind of real people giving reviews.
Yeah, I mean, if the people that are doing some of the things these people are doing, they're not going to be the bitchy type.
No, they're like hardcore.
Yeah, these are hardcore. So this lady, I got to ask you if you would do this. And then I posted this for the listeners to ask them if they would do this. The title of this is Solo Trekking Mongolia by Horse from Mid-August to Mid-September, but wouldn't mind a companion.
Wait, what?
My friend might not be able to join me, and I'll be solo trekking from Mongolia to a name I can't even... where the reindeer are, basically.
Ulaanbaatar.
Yes. And she says, would maybe be a good idea as a woman, I might not... but basically, she might not be as... big a target for horse thieves if she has somebody along. I have a month to spend and would love to do some kilometers. So someone that can at least meet an experienced rider. And she goes on. Would you ride Mongolia by yourself?
Okay. Let me just start out with, we've talked to people that, I had a girlfriend that did that Mongolian race.
Yeah, but then it's part of a race. Everybody knows it. You're out here by yourself.
Yeah, no, my point was, I would, the food alone, they were eating like goat.
Yeah.
Rotten goat was her like
everybody
main
was
food.
Sick.
I can't say that that would be the first place I would want to ride across. Like, let's go to Africa. Let's go somewhere like kind of a little more interesting.
Mongolia would be interesting, I think.
I want to see
pretty,
a giraffe. But... like, I want to like ride by a hippo and be like, run. That's it. So I would
but
not.
But even Africa would be dangerous, I think, to ride by yourself.
I know, but you've got to live a little.
Just asking the question. I think people are a lot braver than I am. I don't think I'd do it by myself.
I would like to read a little bit more into what this lady wrote, if that's okay. I'll just read her post. Can I just read her post?
Yeah. It was a little hard to read in places. It was almost a really bad ad.
It's almost a really bad ad. My friend might not be able to join. So a companion would maybe be a good idea. As a woman, I might not be as easy with horse thieves. I don't know what that means. I have a month to spend there and would love to do some kilometers. So someone that is at least a medium experienced rider around my age, 25 to 35, would be fantastic. Am from Germany, hence the English bad ad, and live half the year in South Africa. I love adventures and am very easygoing through structured.
Though structured.
She's German. I'm easygoing,
except for when I'm not.
Okay. I'm currently getting my equipment together. Saddles, stove, lightweight tents, saddlebags, etc. So I can head off once I find a horse. Step riders provide horses for about €600 with a 50% buyback when returned. But I am totally open to try to buy solo somewhere on the black market as well.
Who wants to buy a black market horse?
What? There's a black market for Mongolian horses?
I guess so.
And you're trying to go there?
And we all have, we've had the winners of the Mongol Derby on every year. And they talk a lot about these particular horses. And I think €600 is a little expensive myself.
What do you do? You buy a horse on the black market that you don't
can't
return.
Bring one in, apparently. So
do you just let it go when you're done? I mean, what a mess. No, I would definitely not do that with this lady. No.
I'd be interested to see what the answers are from the listeners. Maybe everybody's just a lot more brave than we are.
I don't think so. I'm okay. I have one of my best friends is German, and I love her to death, but I couldn't spend a month with her in the middle of the woods.
The steps are even open, so you don't even get woods.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. You just got to dig a hole and poop right in front of them. Here you go.
I think that'd be the least of your... I think pooping, you'd be doing a lot of that with the food you're eating, actually.
Again, my friend Madison, she ate like rotten goat. And they actually trained their stomachs before they went by eating rotten food.
Yeah, apparently it's a big problem when you're trying to win a race.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I'm cool.
Well, there's somebody that's not going to have that problem because she's riding the cutest pony ever.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right, we have Leslie on here. Now, she has the second cutest pony ever after Scooter, of course. I'm just saying.
I will fight you. I will fight you for that comment.
Now, last we talked, you had gotten your cutest pony ever and had done your first post on Horse Nation about your cute pony. And now there's been a second post.
There has been, yes. The topic being getting to know my new perfect pony, which has been a lot of fun. And we're doing our first event this weekend together at Champagne Run at the Kentucky Horse Park. So,
and this one came trained to event. So
yes. Okay. We have not gone from I mean, 3 weeks ago she'd never had a saddle on her back, but now we're going on this Champagne Run. Her former owner did a wonderful job of starting her.
By the way, was that a jab at me?
I think so. So now I chose to ignore it.
That kind of went of a wait a second, kind of sunk in.
So now tell us how are you and the cutest pony ever getting along?
Oh, we are living the dream. We've had a dressage lesson. We had a show jumping lesson. I took her cross country schooling over the weekend, and we are ready to go.
You're clicking on all cylinders?
Firing on all cylinders.
Well,
yeah,
that's cool. Well, congratulations. So you don't feel like a lot of people when they get done and go, or after they buy a horse and go, oh man, they didn't tell me about this.
What have I done? Nope.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Because it's a little late now.
Right, a little late now.
Do you find her? I know you're on the tiny side, you know, you're about Jamie's size, so about 5'2.5". So now, do you find her? After riding horses and stuff, do you think she's small? When you ride her, does she feel small?
She feels like she fits me perfectly. She's kind of she's a little bit of a brick house, so she takes up my leg, and I think I feel quite at home on her. It is one of those things where you kind of, you know, because she is a pony, there's certain things that you have to think about, like striding and figuring out, you know, what her step feels like compared to a horse, and you know, all the courses are set to horse distances, and do you go for the horse distance until it's, you know, through 4 strides, but then when it's 5 strides, you sit up and do 6, you know, that's all the sort of stuff.
Oh my gosh. I mean, my little Mustang is 15 hands, and I was doing the same thing this weekend. I'm like, okay, that's a 2 stride. Is he going to stick 3 in there?
Yeah.
And by the way, yeah, he did. So, and then the 7 that we were supposed to get ended up being a 9 because he kind of went right then left and right and left. So he fitted in. But yeah, you're exactly right. You have to think about the striding, and it's got to be tough on a pony.
Yeah. And I think, and then there's all the factor, you know, are you jumping a oxer to an oxer? That's one thing. If you're jumping a vertical to a vertical down a lot, you know, there's a little bit of math to do. But I think for the most part, I'm just going to think of her as a horse and just go for it. That's my
rider girl. Go for it. So exciting.
Now, have her run and then do marks and go out and count her strides with your stride to see exactly, you know, how you were going to step that off?
Ooh, good idea.
Yeah. I have lines set up that's kind of like, this is a proper, you know, 3 stride. This is a proper 5 stride, like, and just jumping down them and sort of seeing what they feel like.
Were you having to do 6? I would imagine on the 3 you might be able to stretch 3, but on the 5 were you going 6?
I actually can. It's easier for me to just sort of like let her just land and kick her on a little bit and just go down and do the horse step, which is funny. Yeah, she's got it. She goes for it. She's got an engine and a big old athletic step.
And
so
she's at the top end of pony, isn't she? 14.5 or something?
Yeah. I found her pony card. This was kind of funny. And she is actually not even quite 14 hands.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I just joked a little bit. That was one surprise. You know, got home and I was like, oh, I thought I bought myself a 14 two-hand pony or 14 one-hand pony.
Inches make a difference, don't they, when they're that small?
But also, you know, when they're measuring, doing their official USEF pony card measurements, their feet are always trimmed down to a nub, you know, because they want them to be measure as small.
Yeah,
as
they want them to be pony, so they're trying to get them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you put high heels on her?
We might for the horse show. Little platform.
Little platform shoes make her look bigger.
sperm sample.
Tougher.
Yeah.
Hey. By the way, I love the fact that somebody sent you a, I have this crop for the kids, we call it the magic wand. Uh-huh. And somebody sent you the pink sparkly crop for yes. Princess. It's so perfect.
It's so perfect. Yeah. And we're, you know, we're going to use it. Not that I'm going to actually have to use it, but I'm going to carry it as an accessory.
As an accessory, of course. I get it.
Uh-huh.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to, you know, one of the things we do here on the show, and Jennifer has a book, we're going to publish it at some point. She's creating a book of all the breed names we've come up with. Now, when we do it, we actually combine breeds. Like if it's an Appaloosa Arabian, you know, we'll come up with a name and then we write it down. And we have about 100 of those that we've combined with designer, our own designer breeds. Now, you took it a different route with an article you guys, with Kristen did on Horse Nation called Better Breed Names. You guys actually took it a different route.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's always things, just weird meme things popping up on the internet. And one of the latest ones is Better Animal Names, which renames animals in a more recognizable format based on their character, basic characteristics. So we have, as an example, we have a picture of a cobra that has been renamed Danger Noodle. Makes sense to me. You know, makes more sense than cobra. What's that? So, Kristen went through and thought of some alternative names to common horse breeds, and then, of course, as usual, our readers took it one step further and started coming up with some names of their own.
Yeah, actually, I like some of those were even funnier.
Yeah, I know, right? A metallic toothpick. I love that for how do you say that?
Akaltiki.
Smash feet, I think, is like pretty could be applicable toward any draft breed. Dish noggin, speed racer.
Dish noggin is the Arabian. I cracked up. The smash feet one really got me. It's just a picture of a big old like shire just walk being driven down and it's smash feet.
Yeah.
One of our listeners, Rachel Rosenthal, said saddlebreds are prancy snorty face. And I like that one. Prancy snorty face. Oh, yeah.
I love the picture of the Frisian. The renamed of the Frisian is Expensive Night Steed. It should have been K-N-I-G-H-T because Game of Thrones, man. That's all they ride is Frisians.
Right, right. Yeah, our readers are, we have the best readers. Like, and they just came up with.
Rachel came up with Shetland Ponies, Teeny Gallop Dumpling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty
Absolutely.
Much true. Yeah.
Teeny Gallop Dumpling. Quarter horse, speedy badonkadonk. and also she fancy hopper unicorn for a Libes Honor.
The Mustang they called Happy Buck Buck. Mine didn't buck.
Buck Buck.
Of course, except Warm for blood. Jamie's who don't buck.
Overpriced fancy name.
let's see. We got a Equilifant for a draft from another reader.
How about a mule? My way, no way. That's pretty good. Well, I'll tell you what, Jennifer, I told her she needs to write up these breed names and we'll have to get that over to you so you can publish it, all the breed names we've come up with over the last 5 years. We'll have to get that together.
Please
now,
do.
Now your next article here, what Game of Thrones house does your horse belong to? Now, this is for all the Game of Thrones fans. I never got into it, mostly because it was just way too violent for me. So I just never got into it. But for the Game of Thrones fans, this was probably pretty popular.
Okay, now here's the deal. I have not started the last season yet. I just wrapped up season, I think, 4 or 5, and now I'm at 5 or 6, whatever the last season is. So you can't give anything away if you have seen it. But we all took this quiz at the horse show this weekend. Everybody gathered around and took their own quiz at the horse show. And my Zeusie is house stock. He's house stock. I know, right? He's like the good house.
What was your pony?
House Lannister.
Oh, you did not get House Lannister. See, for
so perfect.
Is that the bad house?
This horse draws all eyes when he steps into the ring. He's got presence, from his beautiful movement to his gleaming coat. He's fun to show in that you tend to win a lot, but if you get in his way while he's doing his thing, he has no compunction about dumping you in the dirt and continuing on his own. Yeah, the Lannisters are a little evil. They're a little evil.
We don't need to discuss on the show what some of the Lannisters do, okay?
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it. But yeah.
But,
it can
yeah.
be a little gross and violent.
See, I went down the hole of Orange is the New Black this weekend. I started the new season, and once you do that, your weekend's gone. Mm-hmm. So,
I've still got to get caught up on that. And, you know, I think we talked about this last week or a couple weeks ago. We do have, Horse Nation did have a Orange is the New Black character is your horse, so...
Okay, I'm only half a season into the first one of Orange is the New Black. I'm so far behind on my binge watching. It's like I have a 3-year-old.
Caught up. let me give a warning here while we're talking about that. Let me give a warning here to anybody that is going to start Marco Polo. If you watch the first season and then you're going into the second, or if you haven't watched it at all, the second season is not good for horse lovers. Let me just throw that out there. So
violence.
If you're not into horsey violence, do not. I actually binge watched Marco Polo before I did Orange is the New Black. It's how much I like that. Mm-hmm. But less sex, less nudity, and a lot more violence, including not real good for the horses. Don't watch it if that's going to bug you, because
it can't be any worse than Game of Thrones, man.
The last episode, and I'm not going to give it away, would probably have been worse, and it was one of the most disturbing things I've seen.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Good to know. Thank you for that.
So Marco Polo is an excellent show, but yeah. They're not doing a lot of comedies anymore. Did you notice that?
They canceled all the new comedies.
I know. Have you tried The Ranch yet, Jamie or Leslie?
No.
Oh, you got to do The Ranch. Go to Netflix and look for The Ranch.
One more thing. I haven't even finished the one about the
comedy, though. It's half an hour. I think their shows are half an hour. But it's a sitcom, and it's very good. Mm. You guys will like it. So it's Jamie's kind of humor, which I'm surprised I like it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So what about Kristen's other article on a scale of one to broken?
Well, yeah, this was, it was Maria's, another one of our writers, Maria wrote it. But she just sort of, she thought maybe you could assess she says, this list breaks down the common horse-related injuries from beginner to advanced level. Note, this is not intended to serve as medical advice. If you have suffered a horse-related injury, please seek professional medical attention. So there you go. Horse Nation is no substitute for an actual emergency room.
Yeah, neither guys. Is this show, by the way. So yeah.
So which of these, I would be interested to see which of these you guys have had. Broken toes.
Yes.
I just got my boot off a month ago.
Yeah. You went beyond a toe, though. You went the whole foot.
I kind of smashed the whole foot, but I did break the toe, too.
Yeah. I think the worst my foot's ever been hurt was when it was stomped on by my one-ton Percheron. When he went up and came down on it, that hurts, by the way. Yeah. And then he just didn't, usually they're pretty good, the draft horses, about getting off your feet, but he just didn't know he was on it, and try and move a one-ton Percheron off your foot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I was reading the skill level is beginner for broken toes. Like, that's the beginner
that's where you
skill
start. Level. Everybody has
and,
that. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It says the causes. And I was like, hey, I don't do that. Causes: wearing flip flops around horses. I don't do that. Not paying attention around horses. I don't do that. Generally being around horses.
Yeah,
I do that.
That's the one. Yeah.
And I feel like I was quite prepared the last time it happened.
I think you haven't done horses correctly unless you've had your toes stomped and broken.
Number two, also me, the entire right side of my body was kicked in, broken ribs.
Yeah.
Yes, broken ribs can be very painful. They can be the result of a horse kicking you.
Yep.
That was me.
That's
I did
advanced
that.
Beginner. And I think that is the next step for everybody. Have you had broken ribs, Leslie? Did we lose her?
I think we lost her.
Let me call her back.
Somebody, I'm getting a phone call from her.
Yeah, I'll try and add her back in here. We'll see if I can add her back in.
Leslie, you can't call us. We have to call you.
This happened last time we talked to her, and it was her internet connection was a little goofy. I don't know what it
Try
is
her
about.
Again. I just hung up on her.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about rural Tennessee, but...
It's rural Tennessee.
It's true.
The day that I learned patience was the day I got kicked in the ribs by my horse as I stood behind him going, "You are going to get in the damn trailer." And I whacked him with a stick and well, it didn't go so well for me. The third one is separated shoulder. They said that's the intermediate level, separated shoulder. Fourth level is advanced intermediate. That's a broken tailbone. Oh, I've had hurt one.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a broken one. Oh my gosh. How could you even pee? Like go to the bathroom. You can't.
Depends.
Nah, I get the double entendre there. Oh, that's good. And number five, you might, there are a lot of riders that I know that have had this problem. And I don't know why they ride again, but they keep going. And that's the broken back. They say that's the advanced level of horse injuries, broken back. Have you had any other injuries, Glenn or Jennifer?
You know, I've been pretty lucky over the years. Jennifer, not so much. She's broken almost everything. But I've been pretty lucky over the years.
Because you're a horse husband.
Yeah, I have been pretty lucky. I'm knocking on wood right now because, you know, that's about to end. Right?
All right, let me talk to your wife then. Jennifer, what is the worst injury you've had with horses?
Well, what is worst? Most painful, most life-threatening, most exciting?
Are those three different things?
Yeah.
God. I had the smashed foot. I had the broken ribs. I've had a tailbone bruise, bruised bone. I had lots of just minor. I broke my hand because a horse reared up and came down on it and knocked me over. So that's happened. But like, I can't say that any of these have been. I figure I get at least one injury a year. So what am I due for, Jennifer?
See, I for a long time I was on a pretty regular 2-year schedule.
Yeah.
So now that you're having a great time doing some eventing again, you are due for either a collarbone or a rib.
Ooh.
You are due.
It's been a while. Mm-hmm. I don't want.
And that used to actually freak me out a lot because the longer it went between injuries, the more freaked out I get because I'm going, the other foot's going to fall. Something's going to happen. And the longer it goes, the worse it's going to be.
Can I tell you how paranoid I was? I'm leaving for Monty Roberts in 3 weeks and I'm taking a vacation next week.
The last time you had this
And
booked.
The last time I smashed my foot and broke it. So I had to cancel going to Monty Roberts. And this event, I was like, oh my God. I'm going to get hurt in this event. I've got to protect myself. I've got to ride really hard. I put the air vest on for beginner novice. That's how paranoid I was of not going to Monty Roberts. And I never use my air vest for beginner novice, but I did.
Hey, Leslie, you're back?
I am.
So what have you broken?
I think I skipped to, well, I've definitely separated a shoulder, which is actually... Yeah, it's really and truly what she says here. A separated shoulder can be more painful and longer to heal than any broken bone. Like, I was convinced that that was awful. Just, like, not being able – I just remember, like, not being able to move my arm at all without excruciating pain. So that was probably the worse than any other thing. I mean, I've broken nothing huge, no legs, just a finger, some toes, you know, bruise some ribs. But that's really about it.
I think the worst for me for watching Jennifer with all of her broken bones over the years was definitely the head injury where she had to have 14 staples put into her head from the kick to the head.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was the most horrible one to see. I didn't see it happen, but she came in the house with blood all over her face, and
oh,
it was like
goodness.
And then we went immediately to the hospital, and then they let her sit there for a couple hours, you know.
Oh god. So, she was that girl
in the community,
yeah,
the one just like pouring blood out of her head and everybody's staring at her.
They brought her to her room and they looked at it and said, oh, that's just superficial, we'll stitch that up eventually. And then it was a couple hours later, you know, when everything had coagulated, that they come back to stitch it up.
Gross. Well, I did have a minor tailbone or butt cheek injury, and you guys can probably attest. I was trying to get hay out of the back of the truck, and we have
off.
A big dually,
oh, no.
And I stood up on the back of the truck, and I just fell totally backwards and was laying on the ground. Chad came around the corner, and he goes, "What are you doing laying there?" Oh, I don't know. I'm just laying here on the ground, hanging out in the dirt. Really fun. Like, what do you think I'm doing? The back of the truck's right there. There's hay all over me, and I'm laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out, just taking a little rest.
I did that one day. I was on the roof. It was the porch roof, so one story up. And Jennifer's up in the window, and we were doing something on the roof. I had to get out there for some reason. And for some reason, I just backed right off.
Really?
I backed right off the roof and landed on my back, one story fall to my back. And I was hurting pretty good, but I didn't break anything. I just, you know what it was? If I had gone off forward, I would put my arms out and broken both. But I went off back, so I didn't know. You know, I just landed. without putting anything out because
it happens real quick.
Yeah.
I think what I'm realizing is that I should wear my air vest until I go to Monty's
all the time.
All the time, yes. 24 hours a day, sleeping
constantly. And Leslie, do you have an air vest for Champagne Run?
I don't. No.
What's wrong with you, Leslie?
Yeah,
she's on a 13 one-hand pony. She doesn't have far to fall.
That's true. It doesn't
hurt. Yeah, but those little buggers go like rockets.
Yeah. And they're the ones that are so good at ducking and throwing you off the top.
Princess would never. Princess would never.
Never do that to Leslie.
They're best friends.
Best friends.
And I will. So, Leslie, thank you so much for stopping by, and we appreciate it. Of course, Leslie is from Horse Nation. I have to do my review now for The Secret Life of Pets. You didn't see that, did you?
No.
Okay. I have to do. You want to hang around, or you want to go? Because I'll tell you about The Secret Life.
I want to go. I'm going to see it today. I want you to ruin it.
I will not ruin it. I promise. And Leslie, I will not bring up how mad I am about a certain person not making an Olympic team, which I ranted about for about 10 minutes on the show on Friday. Because I know you probably can't comment on it, but whew, the listeners know I ranted about it for about 10 minutes on Friday. So, yeah, got it out of my system.
I wasn't here Friday, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Jessica Phoenix was not picked for the Canadian team, so I had my rant on Friday.
Sorry, baby.
I'm just devastated.
Didn't she fall off last time? Last Olympics?
Let's not bring it up and get me started again. Okay, let's just not get started down that rabbit hole. Thank you, Leslie. We'll see you.
You guys take care.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. God, I just touched a nerve.
You did. You should have been here on Friday. All right, Secret Life of Pets. We went to see it over the weekend, and Ken, let me say that it was, and I'm not going to ruin this, I'm not giving story or anything, I'm just going to tell you what we thought. It was very fun. It was a cute, very fun, with some very funny moments in it. But I got to tell you what surprised us the most was the pre-show, the short at the beginning, which is a Minion short. And if the Minion movie had been as good as the Minion short, the Minion movie would have sold $1 billion worth of tickets.
Really?
If only the... Wouldn't you agree with that, Jennifer? If the movie had been as good as the short... it's just like they can do 5 minutes of really good, and they did it in this short.
Yeah, they can do five. See, Minions were meant to be in shorts.
Yes.
I agree. I think so. Yeah.
It was hilarious.
I laughed for about 15 minutes.
The short just had everybody in the audience going nuts, and nobody was expecting a short. I hadn't seen anything advertised about the short, but whew, it was hilarious. And I guess it's the same people that did the Secret Life of Pets.
Don't be late, is what you're saying.
Don't be late.
Don't be late, because the short's really, really, really good. And your kid likes Minions anyway. He's going to love this, because it's very slapstick. So he's going to love this.
Oh, boy. And now we're going to have to go out and buy another Minion stuffed animal or something. Ridiculous.
And there were a lot of little kids. Our theater was about 3/4 full, because it was 102 here on Saturday. And everybody
What show did you go to?
We went to like a 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So it was a matinee, and there were a lot of kids, little kids, your son's age.
As a parent, I feel like if I go to a 1 o'clock kids movie and people are going to get pissed that the kids are talking and running around, they've chosen the wrong time to go see the
movie. And I totally agree with
you.
You take that risk. Yes.
That, right.
If you're going at 10 o'clock in the morning, you just be prepared for a lot of screaming.
Oh, it's craziness.
Yeah.
But if you go at like the 9 p.m. show, that's the one you feel like you should be pretty
safe. Yeah, there should be no children at that one.
Yeah. And if there are, they're bad parents.
I got to tell you, and Jennifer can attest to this, these kids were into this movie.
Really? Because
there were no kids running up and down.
Except for running to the potty. There was, the kids were into it. Yeah.
They were into this movie. It was good that way. There was a lot of action. And it made you, and I asked for comments from listeners who went to see it, and I got a couple of comments, and these are not spoilers either. Jessica said, loved it. The beginning part made me want to go home and hug my dog. And I know exactly what she's talking about. It will make you want to go home and hug your pet. And it also will make you wonder what the hell they're doing when you're not home.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. Here was Denise said, saw it last night. It was very cute and a lot of laughs. I felt like a little kid while watching it in a good way. And that is how you feel when you're watching this movie. You feel like you're 10 years old or 8 years old and you're watching a movie that's absolutely enjoyable, but enjoyable for adults too, because it makes you feel like a kid. It did very well. They spent $75 million. By the way, that's a quarter of what they usually spend to make these movies. They spent $75 million on it, and it grossed $103 million opening weekend just in the United States. So it's going to do very well. You'll probably see another Secret Life of Pets coming soon.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, so the commercials, they've been... I wonder if that $75 million includes all the advertising.
Yeah, apparently.
There's been a lot of that.
Oh, man, they've been advertising the hell out of this movie.
Yeah, and Lucas always goes, pets, I want to see pets, I want to see pets. And I'm about to be like, July 9th, 15 more sleeps, 14 more sleeps. I want to see pets, I want to see pets. So we're going to
see
pets
today. Not be disappointed, I don't think. Okay. There's just a lot of action for kids. It'll keep them entertained. And I'm not giving it away, but the villain is a surprise.
I don't want to know anything about it. I want to know nothing about nothing.
Well, there's always a villain. I mean, every movie, right?
All I needed to know is don't be late.
Don't be late. Don't be late. And also, do not leave the credits.
So stick around after.
Yeah, do not leave the credits. It was a mistake if you leave the credits. Just saying.
Gotcha.
All right. So I would give this a 5 out of 6 in a 6-flake bale. I would give this a 5 out of 6. It's just fun. It was a fun after spending the weekend with Marco Polo and Orange is the New Black. It was a welcome relief.
Gotcha.
It was a chuckle.
Gotcha.
Yep. Very good.
Cool.
Very good. And then we got big movies coming out. We got a Star Trek movie coming out this month. What else is coming out this month?
Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters coming out this month. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh, so, I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, big movie's coming out. Yeah, well, yeah, she's your hero anyway. So
Melissa McCarthy is my hero, and then you throw in Thor as the receptionist.
As the comic relief. Actually, in this one, he plays the comic relief. So
he's so beautiful. I'm sorry.
In a suit. You know, he's not even in a Thor outfit. He's in a suit.
There's got to be a shirtless scene. I mean, he's shirtless in every movie.
Gratuitous sex is what he's known for.
That's okay. I mean, there's nothing funnier than him in Vacation, the new Vacation movie. If you haven't seen that, do yourself a favor. anyway, well, great. I'm excited to go see it today.
Yeah, you'll have
and
fun.
Thanks for listening to me.
It might be a movie we actually agree on.
Good. About time.
Or not. We'll find out on Wednesday. So tomorrow we have Endurance Day. And you know what's coming up? It's Tevis Cup in 2 weeks. So Karen, who hosts our Endurance Day, Karen Chatton, is riding. She decided to ride the Tevis Cup again this year, which I think is like her 6th or 8th time. I don't know, a lot. So she's going to be on talking about her preparations for Tevis and talking all about Tevis coming up. And of course, Tevis is the biggest endurance race in the United States. And apparently it's been a little toasty out there where you live. So even in California. So they're preparing for a little heat. And she's going to be talking about how you do 100 miles in the heat.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so
you don't. That's how you do it.
So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And then you're back on Wednesday. Mary Kitzmiller's here on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have some more really bad ads. You missed a great batch of really bad ads. And people were sending them in. We had 3 people send in their own versions of really bad ads. They recorded them. So we'd love to have more of those this week as well. Did you hear what the prize was?
No.
A Carrots show jacket.
What?
Worth $130 is the prize this month.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that, because I didn't even know Carrots did show jackets.
Yeah, they do. And they're really cool. So we're giving one away.
Oh my gosh. Send in your ads, people. Come on.
Everything else they make is great. Their show jackets must be great too. And even if you don't show, you could wear these.
I use their pants for my cross country, the sticky buns.
Oh, yeah?
All three of my phases of
Velcro butt.
Three different carrots. Yeah.
There you go. And now you can have their show jacket too. You just have to submit at. Oh, wait, you can't win. So sorry.
That's okay. I have an equestrian show jacket.
Oh, that's right. You do custom made.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm important.
I'll see everybody.
Spay, neuter, gallant. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks to Omega Alpha, carrots, equestrian.
Hey, get your Omega Alpha emails in or you'll lose out.
Oh, right. Thank you.